Dear family, the Lord warns against those who exploit widows. Widows were, in that time, one of the most vulnerable groups of people. They found themselves without any support. In light of what the Lord Jesus is saying, when we look now at the first reading from the prophet Elijah telling us that he asked this poor widow for that bread when she didn't even have enough for herself, if we judge this at the human level, we could think, wow, he's exploiting this poor widow. We could think that Elijah was being very unjust. And yet, as the story develops, we discover that indeed he was speaking in the name of the Lord. And this widow, by sharing of what she really needed, was so abundantly blessed by God that she indeed did not die as she thought she was going to, but rather, miraculously, the nourishment would continue to be provided for a whole year until the famine was over. What does this teach us today? Like many other teachings from the Holy Scripture, is we need to go deeper before we think we know what's going on. We need to take it to the Lord. We need to pray. And then, little by little, the light will come through. And if you look at history, how many times rash judgments have happened, prejudices have developed, and then in hindsight we look back and say, how could this have happened? Well, we are made of the same stuff, each one of us. So we all have to deal with this. Is it really from God? Do you remember Peter advising Jesus not to go to Jerusalem? He thought he was being a good friend, and yet Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as men do, not as God does." And humility calls us all to realize we all run the same danger. Reading, seeing something, and not really knowing what's going on. So we have to go deeper. We have to pray more. We have to be open for the Lord to lead us further, to teach us more. And what is the point of reference in all of this? Is the church itself, going into the heart of the church. What does the Holy Spirit teach us? The Holy Spirit of God, the Paraclete. What is he teaching us at the heart of the church? Now we go to the gospel and we see another widow. And she's also object of judgment. But this time is Jesus judging. Jesus is the only one who really sees the heart. And he sees that this woman, even though she's only putting these two little coins that are not worth very much, but Jesus sees the heart. Jesus sees your heart. Jesus sees my heart. Jesus sees every heart. And he knows really what is going on. If we only turn to him, we all need to do this every day. Turn to the Lord and allow him to tell us what is in the depth of our thinking, in the depth of our actions. And Jesus honors this woman whose actions were going unnoticed by everyone because she did not do this for show. She did not do this to be noticed. She did this for love of God, purely out of her love for God. And it doesn't go unnoticed by the one who needs to notice, who is God made man, who was right there with her. This is a prelude to her joy, to her eternal reward, where now she is with Jesus forever. But notice that unlike the first widow, in the widow of the gospel, we don't see her receiving any recompense on this earth. She made this great act of generosity, this great sacrifice, and we do not see that because of this, she was provided better, or she had a better life on this earth. So the gospel is inviting us deeper, showing us that the rewards for what we do for Jesus are not necessarily going to be seen or rewarded in the way we expect to in this world. We don't even expect that as Christians. We do it for Jesus. And the point is that this relationship with God, this participation in the life of God in Jesus Christ, is in itself the reward. This is why we do all that we do, because our real treasure is this communion with Jesus, allowing the Lord to really reign in our lives. So even if we don't see any rewards for what we do, when we stand for the Lord, when we do what is right, we do it with great joy. And we don't even have to wait until we die. The great happiness, that inner communion, that inner peace that comes because we are in communion with Christ. This is what all of us desire. This is what all of us long for. How blessed that woman was. And notice that the Lord is not only speaking about spiritual things, but spiritual things also necessarily need to affect the material things. And what this woman is giving is not just a prayer, but she's giving also her sustenance. Those coins represent something very dear to her, and she's giving it up. So us today as well, when we offer to the Lord our tithing, our offering to the Lord in the church, the Lord is also asking us, are we giving from the superfluous, or are we giving of the substance, what is really a sacrifice to us? And that is why we cannot judge or measure, because somebody putting in a coin may be doing a tremendous act of love, and yet somebody else putting on the collection basket much more may be something that is not really even going to dent his budget. So only the Lord knows, and that is the beauty of it. Regardless of how we contribute or how much we sacrifice, the doors are equally open to all. It is something done in secret and in the privacy of your heart to the Lord. And only the Lord sees the heart and will reward us. Now we go to the second reading. We see that Jesus died once and for all. Now, some that do not understand the Catholic faith say, why do you have the sacrifice of the Mass? Don't you know that the letter of Hebrews says he died once and for all? The sacrifice is done, is fulfilled. Indeed, that is what we believe as well. And yet, for God, there is no limit of time or space. And so the sacrifice that he offered to the Father on Good Friday about 2,000 years ago truly becomes present on the altar. It's not a repetition. It's not another sacrifice. It's not Jesus offering himself again, but rather it is the very same sacrifice that we now enter into. We were not alive 2,000 years ago. And so the Lord, in His infinite power and majesty, has provided that He can go through space and time so that we can enter into that one sacrifice today. Because the day before He died, He says, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is My body." And He said, "Do this in memory of Me." So as we break bread, as the Holy Spirit comes upon the altar, and the bread becomes the body of Christ, and we offer the sacrifice, all of us join. We all are partaking in the one sacrifice that was offered once and for all. Another important thing of this letter to the Hebrews that we read today is that it tells us that we will only die once, and then we go to judgment. Why is that so important to know today? Well, many people believe in reincarnation. They believe that we die and then we get recycled. We come back as someone else and we live again on this earth. And then we die again. So the letter to the Hebrews tells us that is not true. In other words, as Catholics, as Christians, we know there is no reincarnation. We die and then we go to the Lord. Thanks be to God, right? We're not coming back again to start another life again as somebody else. We live now. This is our opportunity to give it all to the Lord, to belong to Him. And then when we die, we go to the fullness of life with Jesus forever. Amen.